RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome back in. We're always live worldwide on the free Odyssey app, App Store, and Google Play. We'll give away tickets in hour number two to Whiskey Myers at the Allianz Amphitheater, Riverfront, Richmond. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win there. I don't want to gloss over Virginia Tech basketball winning 8 conference games because... I'll redraw your attention to how bad they were at the start of the season. They started with the 3 cakewalks. Now, I'll remind you, they lost to Penn State. That loss has not aged well, by the way. We'll get back to them in a second. Jacksonville, Michigan, South Carolina, Vandy, Pitt, St. Joe's, and then they conference play loss to Duke. All losses there. Snuck in 2 wins against NCANT. And Navy, that was a 5-7 team entering conference play in earnest there. They had the 1 against Pitt. But entering conference play in earnest, they had a 5-7 record that was not impressive at all. Mike Young, he's got those boys fighting, got those boys scrapping, pulled out, split the series with UVA, found a way to get some wins, get some momentum. And I'm not going to pretend like winning 8 in the ACC is... worthy of Joe Lunardi screaming about you. It's not. But an overtime win against Syracuse on Saturday, they've played some nice basketball. Toby LaWall has developed nicely. I've loved seeing him be one of their big names. It's been fun. And LaWall did not play on Saturday. But it's been fun to watch. That's a tough team that's got a couple of good players. I don't know that anybody's going to be getting a 7-figure NIL deal out of this team, but it's cool to watch them play their ball, play tough, and stick together. Same way I feel about the Spiders, who went double overtime in Dayton, couldn't seal the deal there. I love watching teams that don't throw in the towel, and hopefully we get some of that next week when we're up in D.C. for the A-10 tournament up there in D.C., always a trip we look forward to. Now, I was up in D.C. last year for the ACC tournament, which was its own kind of fun, of course. That tournament always delivers big names and certainly, all the fun. I'm more excited to be at the A-10 this year. I asked around here, does anybody want me to go to the ACC? No, not really, was the answer. UVA, Tech, Tech could get feisty, win a game or two. Neither of those teams are going to win this thing. Duke's got a national caliber title team. UNC's fighting and scrapping to stay alive. But that's the main storyline to me, those two, Duke and UNC. I think Clemson's very good. They're solid. They could win the thing. If they won the thing, that's a story, obviously. But I think it's Duke's to lose, and I think that's a Duke team that's as well prepared for the rigors of March. But I promised I'd get back to Penn State. Virginia Tech lost to Penn State. That's Mike Rose's team. You might remember that when other coaches have left VCU, they've come back and they've played basketball games here. You do remember that. Yes. Mike Rhodes has not brought his Penn State basketball team back to play here yet. Apparently hasn't found dates that work for him yet. So hopefully he'll make good on that next year. Mike Rhodes currently is sitting out of the Big Ten tournament. If they played the Big Ten tournament right now, they would do it without Penn State. Rather than do some soul searching on what went wrong and how he could improve, he is instead choosing to blast the system. Here is Mike Rhodes.
You guys have kind of been down there in the bottom three for a while.
Yeah, I think that's horse shit, to be honest with you. You know, we talk about everybody bangs their chest about student athlete experience, and then you have it, and we're in the Big Ten and we're keeping three teams out of it, and you see how we played today. You know, we had a tough stretch, we had a crazy schedule too, but I don't think you take away experiences from student athletes. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's not professional. I don't think it's the leader's got to do a better job talking that through, because last year we went to the tournament and we beat a team, and if we have one box out, we beat Indiana. Now we win two games. You don't think we can do that this year if we win? So I just there's a lot of hypocrites right now in college athletics when it comes to, we want to take care of the student athletes and student athlete experience, and then we're in the Big Ten and we're keeping people out of it. We didn't even do that in Division III when I was at Randolph Macon. No, not a fan of it. Even if I was at the top three in the league, I think you never take away experiences and opportunities for young people. And as us adults should be on top of that. Probably get in trouble for saying that.
I don't think you will get in trouble for saying that, Mike Rhodes, because I don't think anybody cares. I think everybody understood that when we went to this new system where the bottom three teams are not invited to the conference tournament, those teams would complain and kick and fight and scream about it. I would like to address some of these because I think these are broader concerns too that I hear from a lot of coaches. You know, when they talk about expanding the tournament, you need more access and you need more kids to experience that postseason because it's special. I have been there on Tuesday at the ACC tournament. And I just want to say there is nothing special about that environment. We will be there next Wednesday in DC for the A-10 tournament. And if I try to tell you that that atmosphere is electric, I want you to come over to Capital One Arena and smack me around a couple times. It is not special. It is tough. A lot of the conferences make that a school day game, schedule those games for 11 in the morning, and try to get school kids to come take a field trip. And it is not so that they can get an education on how to play good basketball, because that's not what happens at those games. It's so that when they broadcast this on television, it does not look like they are doing it in a COVID-style empty room, to give the players some semblance of an atmosphere while they play. I don't think the players particularly appreciate having seven-year-old squealing in the background while they play Justin Bieber songs during the breaks, but that's the only option they've got for staffing those games and getting people butts in seats. To suggest that the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, now that they're expanding, should add an additional pillow fight day is ridiculous. Not only that, but if you, in the ACC's case, if you go to Monday, which you'd have to do to accommodate everybody, if you go to Monday to accommodate everybody, or you could start playing doubleheaders. Nobody wants to play doubleheaders either. If you go to Monday, you can't play games on the weekend. You can't play Saturday games that week before, because somebody, you know, you think about Cal. If Cal's the Monday team, they're going to have to fly 2 days before to get there, to get to the site, to have their tournament experience of a shoot around day and a practice and getting ready. You're not going to have those things. You have to draw the line somewhere. You also heard the completely ridiculous thought from Mike Rhodes there, Well, you know, last year we were just one box out away from winning. Then we win two games. If we win two games, we can win five games. We could have won the thing. No, you couldn't have won the thing. Stop it. Stop being ridiculous. I say this as a person who likes Mike Rhodes. You would not know that from this segment so far, because that is such a patently ridiculous statement that it's got to be said. It's insane. Shout out to Randolph Macon, by the way, who's still dominating. They got themselves a nice little dynasty there in Ashland. Randolph Macon women cutting down nets this weekend, which we love to see. Randolph Macon men, obviously, on their way to another NCAA tourney. Randolph Macon. Shout out to Randolph Macon. But the notion that we've got to let everybody in, this is not new. There are conferences that have excluded people for years. The Ivy League used to go winner only. Now it's a four-team tournament. British soccer just crowns a title and moves on. That's the truest way. You don't need, you're not obligated to let every kid go. And I promise you this, Mike Rhodes, if your Penn State team is there on a Monday, in Big Ten, it'd be a Tuesday for a play-in game to a play-in game to a play-in game. There's no atmosphere. You're not going to leave there with the players thinking, I got a postseason experience, because you didn't. You didn't even come close to getting a postseason experience. Come to VCU. We'll show you a good atmosphere. Bring your team here. Let's play basketball, because, by the way, I think the Rams are going to win that game. That's my statement on that matter. More MP on the mic on the other side. Monday edition, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide
Monday
on the
morning,
free Odyssey app.
The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. MP on the mic with you here.
If you miss anything, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Check it out at the App Store and at Google Play. The quarterbacks talked at the combine over the weekend as the drills continue there in Indianapolis at the Underwear Olympics, as they are known. This was Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, obviously your top two there before the drop-off hits. And people are coalescing around Cam Ward as the best quarterback in this draft. And I think that makes him the number one pick. If you're Tennessee, you could go pass rusher if you want. I just think if you're the number one pick, you need to take a quarterback. There are very few circumstances where you're sitting at number one and you don't need a quarterback. I think you should always take the quarterback, because as we've seen this year, they can be a game-changing force. As we've seen in D.C., you plug the right guy into that position, what looks like a 2-3-year rebuild all of a sudden becomes a 6-month rebuild. It happens a lot quicker if you've got a quarterback. I would never not pick a quarterback if I was taken number one overall. People are acknowledging Cam Ward's the guy. But Shedeur Sanders, who, he's been mocked to the Giants a lot. Giants need to find a quarterback. I love this guy's confidence. And he was asked about what makes him think he can get to the NFL and turn a program around. Here's his answer.
I've been through 6 different OCs, so I'm able to adjust to any offense and every scheme and make it work. We went from Jackson State to Colorado and changed 2 programs back to back. So you don't think I could come to an NFL franchise and change a program again? It's history. We've done it again. It's always going to repeat itself.
History, it's always going to repeat itself. That's Shedeur Sanders. He's projected as a top 3 pick this year. You've seen some people do the like crazy outlier thing where he like slides to the bottom of the top 10, or it's the Johnny Manziel or the Baker Mayfield all over again. This guy, he's everywhere. His dad's Deion Sanders. Can we trust this guy? There just aren't any other good quarterbacks to leap him this year. I think is my read on this, that maybe in a loaded year, like if he had come out last year, maybe he does slide into the teens, into the 20s, just because there's other options, right? If you're balancing, do we want Shedeur Sanders or do we want Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy? Shedeur is unquestionably talented, but maybe you take one of those other guys for all the other reasons, all the off-the-field reasons. You don't want the spotlight. You don't want the Shedeur show. You don't want all that. I mean, the dude's already got his own TV podcast video operation, but he gets that from dad, and he gets his confidence from dad too. There's not that guy. If you're the Giants and you're sitting around, do we take him
or do we go another year without a quarterback, right? Or do we go throw money at Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? None of these are good answers. None of these are good options for the New York Giants. And so that's why I think ultimately he's going to go top three, because there are teams that need quarterbacks. Now, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks. There's just two waiting to be picked at the top of the draft. But the other reason I played that is the thing that I've loved the most about Jaden Daniels in this rookie season, NFL people, that's not the thing I love the most about Jaden Daniels. I love just how cool of a customer he is. That's my number one, Jaden Daniels. Number two was the throw he made to Terry McLaurin against Cincy. Number three was the Hail Mary. Among the things I like about Jaden Daniels, love about Jaden Daniels, every time people ask about, like, oh, you know, you're in the NFL playoffs, like, what's it going to be like? He's always like, dude, I played in the SEC, like, I can handle this. Why does everybody keep making a big deal out of it? And it always makes me laugh because NFL people hate that answer so much, because NFL people think the NFL is the biggest, most important, baddest league on the planet, and they cannot accept that there would possibly be another environment that could potentially rival the NFL. Now, I've been to some of these SEC places. They absolutely do, and Jaden's absolutely right. But you got a little bit of that from Shadur there, too. The like, hey, dude, I turned around programs in college. Like, okay, I'm going to go turn around an NFL program. All right, whatever. You know, it's just the next one for me, which the NFL people hate that. You know, well, but this is the most important league in the world. Okay, great. I'll come turn around a team. Whatever, it's the next one I'll do. Then maybe I'll go to the UFL. We'll do it there. I love that about Jaden. I love that about Shadur. The popping the bubble of the self-importance of NFL people will never not amuse me. And it amuses me here, absolutely. Now, is he going to succeed? Doesn't mean he's going to succeed, but I love that attitude, right, of like, we're not going to treat this as more than it is. It's football. It's a little better football. And by the way, with the NIL rules changing all the time, It's not a stretch to say that college football players are dealing with a lot of things NFL guys are, and college rosters are dealing with a lot of things NFL rosters are dealing with. You got Bill Belichick doing Hard Knocks at UNC now. You got college kids with agents. You got college kids getting $1 million deals. There's a lot more overlap than I think the NFL is fully comfortable admitting. Now, I think it's ultimately a good thing for the NFL because, you know, the number one thing they want is pro-ready guys. You don't want to draft guys and then have to develop them for 2-3 years. And the way college is going, more guys are staying, more guys are coming, ready to handle their business, ready to handle the business of off the field as well. I think it's ultimately a really good thing for the NFL. They're going to have to concede a little bit of their self-importance, though, because it absolutely is a totally different story now in terms of what college football entails for these kids, what the roster management entails for college football coaches. You're going to see a lot more college to pro, pro to college coach movement than you have in past years because it's kind of all about the same right now. Speaking of NIL, I wanted to dive into this UR thing. So let's do that here in this segment before we take a break. University of Richmond opted in to the House settlement over the weekend. Not that this was uncertain. There's always going to be people, I'll raise my hand here. There's always going to be people who say they should drop down to the Patriot League. They should run a more amateurish version of athletics. I don't know that the University of Richmond's highest purpose in life is to, you know, field multi-million-dollar athletic teams. That said, they're there. The hardest thing to do is to get a seat at the table. Ask JMU, ask ODU, ask SMU, right? Any of these teams that have been fighting and clawing, trying to get a seat at the big boy table for years now. And UR's got a seat in the A-10, which has transformed around it into a really good athletic conference. So they're going to spend the money. They're going to do it. They'll directly compensate the players starting next year once this House settlement is approved. It's almost a mandatory. You know, the A-10, Bernadette McGlade, the commissioner, she's putting the clamps on everybody. If you want to be in this conference, that is a thing you have to do. They don't want teams in the conference that aren't coming to play ball. The number that's been thrown out there is $1 to $3 million per year
for men's basketball. So if you're not compensating your men's basketball team in the $1 to $3 million per year range, the A-10's going to look into moving on from you. And they're going to tell you, you're not meeting our brand standards here. Now, what's crazy about this is, a few years ago, you'd be like, $3 million, you could buy a super team. And you could. You remember Hunter Dickinson's deal at Kansas for $1 million. And all the Maryland fans yelling, the world is broken. A basketball player made $1 million. Now, you got $7 million guys now. So that's the discouraging part of it for UR is you come to the table. Say they come to the table with $2 million a year. It doesn't mean they're going to get good. It means they're going to stay where they're at. Because that's what the guys playing on their team now are going to be able to make everywhere else next year. And certainly with the A-10 mandating it, there's going to be a lot of money chasing a talent pool that's not fundamentally different than it is now. Just because money's flooding into college athletics does not mean the athletes are getting better. The athletes are just as good as they've always been. They're just better paid now. And so that's the perception gap that these schools are going to have to deal with, especially in the A-10, especially your LaSalle's and your George Washington's, right? All right, you got to spend to stay in the conference to keep your seat at the table. But just because you spend doesn't mean you're going to be good. And you're going to do these NIL fundraisers and somebody's going to say, I gave $100,000 to the NIL fund. Why'd we finish 12th? And the answer is because the other schools had people giving that money too. That's the table stakes now. That's the money to sit down. That's not the money to be good. Now, I think Chris Mooney, obviously his results last season speak for themselves. His results over the last 5 years speak for themselves, that he can make more with less. But now he's again being tasked with making more with less, and you're dealing with donors feeling like they've bought something nice. Why aren't they getting something nice? It's a mess. College sports, it's a mess. That's the theme of this show every now and then. And then we talk about the games, and the games are pretty doggone good. Or at least they were this week. UR was feisty, man. Took Dayton to double overtime over the weekend. That's the best you can hope for there. As a team that doesn't quit, they have not quit this season under Chris Mooney. Couple blowout losses, but a lot of games they can hold their heads high about. Same with Ron Sanchez's crew at UVA. Everybody knows Ron Sanchez is gone. That's an open secret. They're still fighting hard for him. And then Mike Young's crew of Virginia Tech, they've gone one past the moral victories. They're getting some actual victories. 8 ACC victories for Virginia Tech. In a normal year, we'd be talking about that. This is not a normal year for the ACC, which has 3 teams in right now, and North Carolina fighting and clawing to preserve or get a spot for themselves. That it's a wild time in college sports. Let's talk about Alex Ovechkin. The Great Eight continues his chase for history. We'll play the highlights on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Taking you up to AWOD Radio. Grant and Danny drive you home. Who's talking later tonight on your home with the Rams in Richmond? VCU basketball back tomorrow night. They're in Pittsburgh taking on Duquesne, who got them last year in the A-10 final. Very different basketball teams this year. Seems like we're saying that a lot. But the UR game, the Duquesne game, very different basketball teams this year. George Mason, too. Very different basketball team than they were last year under Tony Skin. Tough loss on Saturday for the Patriots. Probably out of the A-10, the at-large NCAA tournament running would be my read on that. Maybe they make it to Sunday, but it feels like a reach at this point. They probably needed to stay perfect, weren't able to do so against Duquesne. And now Duquesne has served notice, could have ourselves a little bit of fun tomorrow night. One more NCAA football, by the way. They made a rules proposal change for next year. There's been, as you know, there is a lot of faking injuries in college football to prevent teams running that up tempo. That's harder to do in the NFL because the refs, you know, take their time in spotting the ball, but they keep it moving in the NCAA. Any injury after the ball is spotted will cost a timeout. So once, if you're injured in the flow of the play and you're down immediately, they won't charge the injury timeout. But if they spot the ball and then a player falls down and starts cramping up, that is an automatic timeout now to prevent the faking of injuries, the the trying to buy your defense a rest on a long series. Now, that doesn't fully close the loophole, but it's kind of nice to see him acknowledge it's a problem. And, you know, there's so much talk about protecting football from injuries and head injuries and all that, that, you know, it's good to at least acknowledge it's a problem the other way as well, with the faking of injuries. And so I think this gives the refs latitude to make their best judgment, but also charge a timeout when they need to charge a timeout going in. We're talking about Deebo Samuel, though, coming to the Washington Commanders. Very nice get for the Commanders. Superstar in D.C. The biggest superstar in D.C., though, is Alex Ovechkin right now, and he scored again over the weekend.
Coming back near side, Roy. His shot blocked by Gergensen's. Roy gets the rebound and trying to get the shot away. Ovechkin shoots and scores! And the Capitals are on the board, and it comes from Ovechkin between the dots. Goal number 884. He's 10 from tying Gretzky. It's 2-1 here late in the third period.
Great eight, 10 away from tying Wayne Gretzky as they continue their march to history. Play tonight, 6:30, against Ottawa Capital One Arena in D.C. It's weirdly tough to be the Capitals right now. I know that's a hot take. They're the best team in the East by a large margin, but this is not your traditional best team in the East because of the chase, because of how early they've got it locked up. But also because of how it's not super important in hockey to win the President's Cup, to win that one seed, or you know, whether you're the one or the two or whatever you are. You know, it's a postseason where if you get in, if you get a hot goalie, you got a chance. So, you know, the Capitals have everything they need for the postseason. They're in. They've got a good spot. They've got home ice advantage for the first couple rounds. They don't need to go any further than that. There's really no incentive to ring up the goals, ring up the points here. They've also got this chase for history, and that could change your playing style, right? That can change the way they attack these games, the way they play with Alex Ovechkin, knowing he's trying to get this before the season's over, knowing the playoff goals don't count. So it almost feels like they're in a weird, like, bonus mode season right now, where anything they get is great. Anything they don't get is fine, too. Tom Wilson talked to get after the game the other day. He doesn't sound super concerned at all, because they're not, because they've got enough points to be where they want to be. Now, you don't want to lose it, right? You don't want to lose, and then you get to the playoffs as, oh, shoot, you know, we got to turn it back on. We got to find our play again. You don't want to just make it the feed Ovechkin game, because nobody wants that. You know, that's not going to be good for the team long term. You know, guys are going to cue on that. You know, Ovechkin's at his best when the team's at its best. You don't want to play it risky with injuries, though, because you need guys for the postseason. You don't need guys right now. I think these are all big factors. And for Carbs, for Spencer Carberry, the coach, there are no easy answers to what to do with a team that's this good this early in the season, this early before the postseason. They got a whole nother month of hockey to play. They don't need to play it. They've got one of the greatest players of all time chasing one of the game's most famous records. It's weird. What do you do with that? And I don't know what you do with that. But he'll figure that out. And then they'll be judged, of course, on whether they're a cohesive team, whether they're playing hard, whether they're doing their thing in the playoffs. I think at this point, your worst case is probably that Ovechkin gets really close to the record but doesn't get it. So it's a storyline that's hovering for the final week of the season and they don't get a breather before the playoffs. You'd love for him to set the record with a week to go so they can take a week off from that pressure, or just not be close enough, be 5 or 6 away going into the postseason. That's fine too. But if this goes to the buzzer, you wonder if it becomes a net negative on this year's team and their very legitimate quest for a Stanley Cup. Because once you're in, you're in. You got the chip, you've got the chair, you've got the chance in the Stanley Cup playoff. And these guys are going to be there. We know that regardless of what happens. So it'll be interesting to follow the Caps down the stretch. You know, VCU's got a little bit of that too now that Mason's given them their game a breathing room. I think they're in the NCAA tournament. I think they're the one seed for the A-10 tournament unless they lose both this week, which feels unlikely. But you got a lot to play for, and then you got a big game Friday night against Dayton. Senior night, it's Dayton. You want to beat them to start with. You know they're going to give you everything they got. It's tricky. These are tricky interim times to navigate. This VCU team right now is ready for the postseason. This VCU team right now is ready to play tournament basketball, to win in the tournament, and I believe to be a real factor in the NCAA tournament. Now, I think the seeding game is going to be a big part of that. You know, you're seeing them rise in the ranks here to 10 to 9 in these seeding charts, and that's tough because I think the sweet spot is going to be 11-12 this year for these teams that want to make some upsets, make some noise. Because you know, I think Awad and I agree on this. It's a soft group of major conference teams that are going to get those five seeds and those six seeds. Those are the teams I want to play. Now, you got to play them all eventually. But the one seeds are really good, and the two seeds are really good. So if you get a 9 or a 10 seed, you can win your first game, but I think it gets really hard to make it out of the first weekend, which a lot of analysts and fans hold up as a metric of success, right? Get to that Sweet 16, get out of the first weekend. It's hard to do. Making the tournament is an achievement, and that shouldn't be overlooked either, because there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into just being in position to make the tournament, let alone being greedy about the seed. And if VCU could get up to a 10 seed or a 9 seed, I think it shows a lot of respect for them in a year where the A-10 has had a hard time winning its respect. So it would be great to see them get a little bit of that respect. It would be great to see them find a way to win the last two, to win in D.C., to be A-10 tournament champs. That's not something that's always been a given around here. Even some of the better teams did not leave as A-10 tournament champs. So a lot still to play for, but you want to keep your eyes on that final prize too. You know, you don't want anybody going too hard and getting injured before the tournament, because that's where it matters. That's where the fame is made. That's where the money gets made. That's where your name gets made. VCU basketball back on the Fan tomorrow night. We're back after this, talking a little Debo Samuel on the other side. You're listening.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Go sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
The 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. As AWOD Radio will be, he's up next from Capitol Ale House, as he is on Mondays. Who's talking tonight? Grant and Danny tonight. Loaded lineup. Ovi continues his hunt for history tonight for the Washington Capitals. But this is a Commanders town. AWOD was texting me over the weekend. So which one's a bigger deal? VCU beating Davidson, flying towards the A-10 regular season title, or Debo Samuel to the Commanders? And the answer is, like, we talked to both of you. There are more Commanders fans in Richmond than there are VCU basketball fans. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn saying that. But I'll also say this. The Commanders fans are well served. If you want to talk Commanders, there are a zillion places to do it. I think the VCU fans are very much underserved. I don't think there are enough places to talk VCU basketball relative to how good the team is. There's Ram Nation. There's a Twitter app. You know, there's a thriving Rams Twitter. AWOD show has always been a great place to talk VCU hoops. Robbie and Rodney do their, Robbie does his shows, the VCU Rams live shows. But relative to how good they've been for how long, there's not as much talk in the market as I think there would be at in most places that have a team that's been this good for this long. All that said, we talked to both of you. I had some great Rams talk earlier today. Rewind to 11 o'clock on the Odyssey app to grab it. But we got to talk Debo Samuel because here comes Debo.
Here comes Debo. Who? Debo.
I just took my idea.
Now, I got to cut the clip off there. There's language, folks. We don't use the dump button on this show. We don't have to often, and today's not going to be the day either. Debo Samuel, nicknamed after the character Debo in the movie Friday, because his dad said he was always stealing things from people as a kid, which is great. Hopefully he snatches some balls this season for the Washington Commanders. Y'all know I love this trade. The Washington Commanders have money, and it is hard to spend money in free agency because a lot of the best players don't make it to free agency. And so this is how you do it. You find a team that needs to dump salary, in this case to make room for Brock Purdy. You offer him a fifth-round pick. That's no biggie. If he plays well, he's worth the money. If he doesn't play well, you had the money. It's a best-of-both-worlds scenario. I'm not here to predict Debo Samuel's going to have a career year. I think he's got a good chance at it. I'm just saying, even if he doesn't, this is still a good trade, and I'll still go to the mat for this trade, even if it doesn't pan out exactly like you think it is. The other question is, right, I saw a lot over the weekend, is Debo done? Like, is he washed up? Is he over? Debo's 29 years old, coming off a season where his numbers are not good at all. This reminds me a whole lot of getting Austin Eckler. It really does. A guy who, it's a what have you done for me lately league. And with Austin Eckler, everybody, look at those numbers. Austin Eckler's done. If you dig deep, there were extenuating circumstances. He was injured a lot. It was the offense they were in. Debo was injured. He was playing through some serious stuff. And it wasn't vintage 49ers football with Kyle Shanahan there. I think Debo could absolutely be this year's Austin Eckler, a guy who goes from being written off to once again announcing, wait a second, y'all, I'm good. Just because I had one bad year does not mean this is over by any stretch of the imagination. I really do think that is not a possible, maybe even a likely outcome for Debo Samuel. I think he's got a lot to prove. He'll be in a great system. He's going to love working with Jaden. I think he's going to be a great locker room guy. You hear about his toughness. You hear about his will to win. It's going to fit in very, very nicely with this team. It's going to fit in very nicely with Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels and the environment they set. And I don't think you have to worry about Terry either. I think Terry's still going to be the de facto number one here. And Debo's used to that too, because he played with Brandon Ayuk. I think Terry remains the de facto number one. I think there's a lot of great ways you can use Debo. I think B-Rob becomes better as a result of this trade. I think Austin Eckler becomes better as a result of this trade. I think there's a lot of upside for a lot of guys. Bring me Zach Ertz or another tight end who's got some baller tendencies. And I think you got a really good skill player cast. Not that you ever stop trying to improve, but I'd feel good running into the season with that skill lineup group. Now, I hate to see all these good O-linemen coming off the market before free agency. I don't know that they're going to be quality offensive linemen to cut checks for. I think Mekhi Becton's maybe as good a guess as any, just because he's going to be there and they're going to have money. You're going to have to overpay just really, really badly for any offensive line help. You know, you still got some defense work to do. This is a roster that, you know, for as much as we talked about Adam Peters rebuilding it, he rebuilt it with short-term supplies. He rebuilt it with a lot of one-year guys, which was by design. He knew this would be an attractive destination once they got things rolling, and it is now. But that doesn't mean there is, you know, it doesn't exempt them from a lot of work that that has to take place here. Starting now and rolling into this offseason with the draft and free agency and everything else. But I love adding Debo Samuel as a weapon in the meantime. VCU victory Monday in the books. Commanders victory Monday, training for Debo Samuel. Why not? Let's call it that. In the books. VCU basketball game day tomorrow, too. We'll have our usual game day guests. Get this week started right. Final week of the regular season. We'll also have Dennis Bickmeyer on the show tomorrow, getting us ready for the A-10 women's basketball tournament out in Henrico this week. It's March, y'all. It is basketball time. Ovi's chasing history. Commanders are making moves. We got it all on lockdown for you. AWOT's got 3 hours live and local coming up next. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Catch us worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Big news over the weekend for the Commanders. First two dominoes in the NFL. First one belongs to Matthew Stafford, of course, re-signing with the Rams. Now, I think that one makes sense. You've got so much mediocre quarterback play in the NFL. I think Stafford's really good. Now, the question is, where's the cliff? He's getting older. Is he going to fall off that cliff soon? But that's a Rams team that, you know, you never want to say, we were one play away. We're right there. Because when you do that, you come back the next year and you don't even get close. But I think the Rams can legitimately say, one play away from beating the Eagles in the snow. If they beat the Eagles in the snow, they're hosting Washington and potentially headed to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's a reach for those guys. I think Matthew Stafford's still playing at a really high level. I think they had a weird year, but their ability to reload, and that's all Sean McVay. Sean McVay's ability to keep that team going through a reload has been impressive. But yeah, Matthew Stafford back there is the first domino. And then on Saturday, we all learn, here comes Debo.
I'm Debo. Who? Debo.
I just took mine in.
Oh yeah, here comes Debo. That one's for Stubb, our movie lover there. He'll get the pull right away. That's from Friday, if you haven't seen it. Debo Samuel, nicknamed after the bully character who's always taking things from people in that movie, because as a toddler, he was always taking things from people. We cannot play any more of that movie for you. It's actually got nothing to do with copyright law. There's just a lot of cursing, and we're not allowed to do that here on AM radio. Those are the rules. Here comes Debo, though. Debo Samuel to Washington. First big splash of the offseason. And a lot of people reacting very positively to this move, because for Washington, when you have a lot of money to spend in the NFL, sometimes it can be hard to spend it. That's a crazy thing to say, but look around at the free agents who are available. And this is the cold water I've been throwing for a few weeks now. Like, and you watch all these good players come off the board one by one here with the franchise tags and with reaching agreements with their teams. Not a lot of really, truly great players ever make it to free agency. And for everybody say, oh, Washington's got all this money, they're going to go spend it all in free agency. You can go to the store with a lot of money, but if the store is out of stock, you're not coming home with much. Or you can overpay for what's there. And I know Adam Peters is not going to do that. So how do you find ways to spend money in the NFL? You find teams that need to unload money. And I think this is a great deal for both sides. I really do. I think this is a win-win. Now, I said in the last segment, I'll double down on this. I don't think the Niners' strategy is good of signing Brock Purdy. If I were the Niners, I would not sign Brock Purdy to a long-term deal. I'm planting my flag there right now. We can come back on that later in the offseason if we need to, but I'm planting my flag right there. What I'm saying is, for their strategy, they need to unload giant portions of salary quickly, and to do that, to get rid of that salary and late-round draft pick to fifth, but to get something for it, this is a fair NFL deal, right? This we're not seeing, nobody's coming out of the woodwork here, you know, complaining about this. Nobody's coming out of the woodwork and saying, oh, you know, this is, you know, one team's taking another team or whatever. This is a fair deal. Washington's got the cap space to eat a big contract. San Francisco needs to unload one. Washington's got a star player who I think is probably going to be a little overpaid next year, relative to production, relative to expectations. But this is a team that can afford to do that. This is a team that can afford to do a little overpaying because they've got so much cap space. And that's the best way to acquire talent. Find teams that are unloading it and get it before it gets to the market. If you're willing to overpay by a little, you can get, you know, top tier talent. And with Deebo Samuel, man, he's going to make everybody better, right? And I'm not just talking about Terry McLaurin. Obviously, he's going to make Terry McLaurin better. He's going to make B-Rob and Eckler better, too, if those guys come back. He's going to make Jaden Daniels better, of course. The thing that I think, you know, the thing that I think I want to talk about Deebo Samuel this morning to get you excited about this trade, to make you feel like I feel, which is this is a good deal. He's a tough dude. He fits the Dan Quinn style. I don't know if you heard, Dan Quinn did an interview with the team on the team website, and he was talking about just at the combine, like, I want to get to know these guys. I want to get to know their backgrounds. He says, I take it very seriously that if I take a player into that locker room and I add a player to that locker room, that I'm representing that this guy stands for the things we stand for and will fight for the things we fight for. And will be a good addition to the locker room. He takes that very seriously. And I think we've all seen over the past year that, yes, Dan Quinn takes culture very seriously. This is Deebo Samuel. He's not making an exception here. He's not saying, I found a crazy talented wide receiver, guy who runs the ball, guy who can do anything. Let's let the culture envelop him. Let's let the culture work on him. He's a guy who will help set that culture next year. And I think you don't have to worry about Terry either. I think Terry's a guy who can handle having a little culture being set alongside him. I don't think he's going to need to be in the spotlight catching the touchdowns every game. He needs his passes. He needs his balls. But he's going to get those, even with Deebo Samuel. There's enough offense still to go around here. And now you've got a bona fide threat opposite him, which is only going to be good for everybody. Need a big-time tight end or maybe bring Zach Ertz back for one more round. And then you start to feel really good about the skill players here. Figure out which receivers you want to keep. My least favorite discussion around these trades is always like, they're going to have to get rid of one of the receivers. You know, Noah Brown's going to have to go. Or, you know, it's some, you know, whether it's Olamide Zaccheaus or De'Ami Brown, you know, you're going to have to let somebody go. Yeah, you are. It doesn't bother me at all. If you are the kind of person who's going to bat because you can't stand to lose, De'Ami Brown, you're shooting too low in life. Your goals are not high enough. Your expectations are not high enough. This is a team that's going to believe entering next year that it can reach the Super Bowl. And these are the kinds of players those teams have and those teams trust in big moments. And to get Jaden another weapon is awesome. To do it with a guy who fits in the culture and is not afraid to block and get dirty and play hurt, I think is a big win for Dan Quinn, a big win for all this talk about being a commander and what commanders means, which is still important. You know, one good season does not set the culture. One good season does not allow you to start getting reckless. You still got to make smart decisions. I think they made a smart decision here. I really do. I think they made a very smart decision trading for Deebo Samuel. they can absorb the money. It doesn't matter if you're overpaying a little right now. They've got a ton of cap space in an environment where it's going to be tough to find quality free agents, just because there aren't a lot of them that exist. So you hang on to most of your major draft capital. You just lose the fifth rounder. I'm in on this one. That's a win for me, bringing Deebo Samuel to Washington. Reason to get excited. NFL keeps us in all season long, keeps us hooked. I know y'all didn't need more reasons to be excited about next year for the Commanders. Certainly, the Eagles are going to continue to be good. They will be an attractive destination as they try to build towards dynasty status, right? Two Super Bowls now. Chance to build towards, you know, dynasty status, to reach two Super Bowls, not one, two Super Bowls with this crew. But that's how you build something. They're going to be good. These guys are going to be good. When we get the schedule in a couple months, man, you're going to, both those Eagles Commanders games are going to be prime time or 425 national broadcast. You just know that. Those are going to be the games that set the tone for the division next year. Not to discount the other teams. We always see somebody go worst to first in the NFL. It happens. But it's not too early to get preemptively excited about what those games are and what those games are going to mean. Because this is going to be a really fun offseason, because the Commanders are in the center of the discussion. Everybody's fired up about what's going on in D.C. Everybody's fired up about next season. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of bringing Deebo Samuel in, fan of the trade. Fan of this Commanders offseason. It's not an offseason when you have to be offseason champs, which makes it a little bit easier to make a good deal, to make a move. Lots of Commanders discussion. There was a little kerfuffle on Friday about tailgating. Maybe we'll get to that today. Maybe we won't get to that today. I do know we're going to get to the NFL Combine fight, because there's more information about that. We'll definitely get to that. We'll go league-wide as well. We'll talk about Alex Ovechkin's chase for history. We'll continue to give out tickets to see Whiskey Myers, as we will for the next few days. Off and running, at the quarter pole here. MP on the mic. It's a Monday, Tuesday night, VCU game night. Tomorrow night, they'll be up in Pittsburgh against Duquesne. We'll talk Rams hoops. We'll talk UR opting into the settlement. We'll handle everything else in the world of sports on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.
I like Mike Rhodes. I really do like Mike Rhodes. I just want to say that. I like Mike Rhodes. I think he's a quality human being, and a good dude, and I like him a lot. I just think he's super wrong on this issue. I just think that fundamentally, to play sports and to be competitive, at a certain point, you have to say, we're drawing a line. We cannot accept everybody, because that would get silly. And allowing another day at these tournaments would be silly, because it costs you at that point a weekend of regular season basketball. Are there alternatives? Sure. Your best one there is to play doubleheaders. Does Mike Rhodes want to come play a doubleheader one day? Maybe he does. I don't know. Or you play till Sunday, play till Monday. Now you're messing with the tournament, with the bracket reveal. There's no good way to add another day. Just because you're in last place, one of the last three, doesn't mean they need to change the rules. I think if you were on the other side of the line, you would say it's quite sensible that your team on the other side of the line isn't getting dragged down there on short notice for a basketball game. I like Mike Rhodes. I really do like Mike Rhodes. Also like the chance to give you guys a chance to win tickets to Whiskey Myers at the Allianz Amphitheater. We'll do that coming up in hour number two. We'll get back to the Deebo Samuel trade as well. I want to revisit that. Whether he's done or not, as is the conversation, and I want to mention in that segment that one Austin Eckler was perceived to be done when he arrived here last year. So there's that. But what I really want to talk about in the NFL, because it is the thing I care about the most, is the ongoing beef between Howard Schultz and Jordan Schultz. I keep messing this up. Howard Schultz owns Starbucks. Jordan Schultz is his kid and is an NFL reporter. Jordan Schultz and Ian Rapoport, who had a showdown at an Indianapolis hotel last week over dueling reports. One from Jordan Schultz saying that Tom Brady hosted Matthew Stafford in an attempt to woo him to the Las Vegas Raiders. and a dueling report from Ian Rappaport saying that no, they coincidentally ran into each other in a Montana ski town. There is nothing to this story at all. Total coincidence. Tom Brady was not seeking out Matthew Stafford in the hills of Montana. They traded barbs at a Starbucks in the JW Marriott lobby in Indianapolis at the Combine. This is, of course, the only Combine story worth reporting on. Other than Bashal Tootin's numbers, let's do a Bashal Tootin's numbers as well here. Before we get back to the fight, now that I got you good and lathered up and ready for a fight, I want to read you Bashal Tootin's numbers. 4.32 in the 40-yard dash, best running back time this year. 40.5 inch in the vertical jump, best among running backs this year. 10 foot 10 inch broad jump, second among running backs this year. Bashal Tootin dominated. Rootin, Tootin, and Scootin at the Combine. Good for him. I think he'll get drafted to a team this year, which is exciting. Love to see our local teams do big things, and Bashal Tootin, it sounds like, is going to have an opportunity in the NFL. Cam Scadabo looked good, too, from Arizona State. Hope he ends up in a nice home. Would not mind seeing him in D.C. at all. But reporter fight. Eyes on the prize here, Michael. Reporter fight. That's what matters here. Our guy, PFT Commenter. So he does a show on Barstool Sports. He is a huge Washington Commanders fan. His podcast is Pardon My Take. He was there in the lobby. So let's get this report on what happened in the Thrilla in Vanilla Latte at the JW Marriott Starbucks.
So what happened was, I was having some drinks with friend of the program, Mike Silver, and a slew of
Michael
Silver, a slew of reporters and agents came downstairs, and they were all abuzz about essentially a melee that happened in the Starbucks.
Talking Malice in the Palace?
It was worse than Malice in the Palace.
Okay.
Apparently, Schultz ran into Ian Rappaport at the Starbucks. They get into a little argument there. Jordan Schultz walks up to Ian and says, "We have to talk." Ian says, "I don't think we have to talk about anything." Jordan Schultz then says, "Like, you need to back the f*** off because you're talking about me behind my back."
Oh.
Throws in a couple F-bombs.
Okay.
Then Rappaport was like, "I'm not talking about you behind your back." Apparently, this is what the scuttlebutt was.
Okay.
Schultz was saying that Ian Rappaport is going behind his back and telling people that Jordan Schultz gives agents Uber stock in exchange for scoops.
Uber stock?
Uber
stock.
I don't know how this got involved.
Like a lot of stock or Uber?
Yeah, like Uber amount of Starbucks stock?
No, like Uber stock is what...
The car.
Somehow Schultz thought that Rappaport was telling people that he was giving people Uber stock.
Okay.
I talked to Rappaport. Ian Rappaport has never told anybody that they get Uber stock, but now it's
according to Ian Rappaport.
But per sources,
well, that
but
also
then now it has me thinking. Like,
yeah, if you're Jordan Schultz and you're accusing someone of that, it feels like it could be true.
I don't know. I don't think that Ian actually said anything like that. He's probably said some other things about Jordan Schultz behind his
back. I'm not saying it could be true that Ian Rappaport's saying it. I'm saying if you're going around defending and being like, "Hey, I'm not giving Uber stock to people."
It raises a lot of questions.
I didn't say anything about Uber stock.
My "I don't give Uber stock to people" t-shirt is raising a lot of questions that are answered by my "I don't give Uber stock to people" t-shirts. All right. So that's PFT Commenter on the Pardon My Take podcast. His version of events from Indianapolis, where Tom Brady may or may not have hosted Matthew Stafford at a ski resort, or they may have just run into each other at the Kroger near the Montana ski resort, because that's what rich people do, is they run into each other at ski resorts and they tell each other how much they would love, hypothetically, to be on the same football team together. But they can't say that, so they definitely don't say that when they don't coincidentally run into each other in Montana ski resorts. And then you got the two reporters going at it. You got Jordan Schultz. You got Ian Rappaport. It's a competitive business. The juices are flowing. The Uber stock thing is wild, where Jordan Schultz is telling people, or Ian Rappaport is telling people, Jordan Schultz is, I guess, essentially buying scoops. It's an oddly specific allegation. Remember, Jordan Schultz's dad owns Starbucks, but also stock is not... All right, Professor Phillips here. Stock is not like a trading card or like a business card. You don't just hand somebody a share of stock. That's not how stock works. I mean, like at one time it probably was, like when you know all those people running around on the floor of the stock exchange, like yelling buy and sell and trading pieces of paper with each other. Like maybe it happened that that's not how stocks work now. I have no clue how that would even work if you were attempting to do that, and how you would do that without the disclosure element of it. That's all a topic for another day. What matters for this day is that's a wild allegation to put on somebody, and what a way to say like they're rich, like they're only good at journalism because they're rich. I got to give props to Jordan Schultz, though, because you're rich. You can pick any career you want, and he picked NFL scoop journalism. Which is legitimately insane because all the people in that business are trying to get out of that business. Woj quit. The baseball guy quit. Schefter's always trying to do basketball. It sure feels like more people are trying to get out of that business who are successful than into it. But here he is. He can do whatever he wants with his life, and he's doing this. He's doing the scoop game. It's crazy. I don't know what to make of any of this other than it's good theater and it's fascinating. And we need a little, in this time, in these turbulent times, we need a little low-stakes drama in our lives. And this is the perfect low-stakes drama to have in our lives. Jordan Schultz, Starbucks heir / NFL reporter who dared to speak ill of Tom Brady versus Ian Rapoport, NFL Network reporter paid by the league, who wants everybody to know Tom Brady did nothing wrong. We're not picking sides here. We're just telling you, this is good theater. This is the stuff that's going to carry us through the offseason. Also, since nobody wants to do Hard Knocks anymore, why don't we just do Hard Knocks NFL beat reporters? I think we could get good entertainment value out of that. Just saying. I've gone way long on this segment. I know I have. That's all right. Hour number two on deck. We'll do a ticket giveaway on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.